In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's a dark football Monday, Mr. David.
Morning, Molly. Yes, it is Monday.
Wow.
It is a short week. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and the Bears will play again. And yesterday was repetitive.
Yeah.
Redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat remarkable when you think about how many different ways the Bears now have found to lose a game that they could have conceivably won. And the methods keep changing. And the result is the same. This is a bad football team. This is a struggling football organization. And this is a season that has gotten off the rails.
I find it extraordinary that they scored 11 points in 22 seconds.
I do too.
To get into overtime. But I think ultimately it was so unsatisfactory.
It was the most unbear-like comeback. And the most bear-like ending.
Yes.
And so,
there you go.
As I said, if they could market their misery, they could make a fortune. Because yesterday was just another example of a team that finds ways to self-destruct.
It's a bad team, man. It's a bad team. That's one of the takeaways from this game.
It's a bad team, but you look at the talent, and it shouldn't be this bad.
It shouldn't be this bad.
It shouldn't be 4-7 bad. It shouldn't be five straight losses bad.
No, but you know, when you get a field goal kick blocked to lose a game, and then you come back without altering anything, and you get another one blocked. Who's that on? That is just really awful.
Whoa.
And their defense that we thought was going to be a top, we were predicting, they're definitely a top 10 defense. Could they be a top 5 defense? No. And I get it. You know, the safety's gone and the best defensive tackle on the roster is out. I understand what's happened. But my goodness gracious, feel free to stop someone at some point.
Well, at the beginning of the season, I think expectations were outsized as we can say now. And defense has fallen well short of them. I think the season has fallen well short of them. Mm. And it's easy to point the finger at the head coach and then his staff and his list of coordinators. One has been fired already. Another one might be on the way. Who knows?
Yeah,
but everybody is culpable here.
Oh, yeah.
From the person who put the roster together to the coaches who were trying to get the most out of the players to the players themselves. I mean, I know what you're saying about the field goal block, but when you have a group of 11 going to the field the first time since they allowed a blocked field goal, you would think that their awareness would be heightened too. And they'd be able to do whatever they could as players to make sure that that didn't happen again. And yet it did. And so it's just there's nothing about the Bears organization right now, short of the quarterback perhaps, that you feel very good about.
You know, here's the problem. You want to know what the real problem is? Still relatively young in the season. I mean, they
six
gotta,
games left.
They got to turn it around and play on Thursday.
That's not the good news.
Well, I'm saying they're 10.5-point dogs going into Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I know Detroit's really good, but man, that is a lot of points.
Well, that's reflective, though, of how little faith there is in the Bears to rebound from something like this.
No,
the resilience might have been all used up in making that comeback. That was crazy to watch. Because of the onside kick factor. You know, onside kicks now, you got to tell the team you're doing it. You tell the world you're doing it. And then you still pull it off? That was one of the more remarkable plays of the game. And then Caleb Williams finds DJ Moore. That was a throw that with one of his best of the of a good day.
Yeah, he had a good day.
And Caleb Williams again puts his team in position late in a game situation that is now he's starting to develop that reputation for a guy that can do that.
It doesn't translate into wins, sadly. But
it doesn't.
Yes,
it doesn't. But
it can do the special
as a rookie. Rookie quarterbacks typically, the teammates and the team around him try to elevate his play, the rookie quarterback's play. What we've seen, I think, in the last 2 weeks is that, especially yesterday, the rookie quarterback is rising, is elevating the play of everyone around him.
Yes.
And that's the only good news from yesterday, is that you have evidence of progress at the most important position that always has eluded this franchise. But you have a franchise that is trying to ruin that by not being able to get out of its own way.
No, that's fair. That's a fair assessment of where they're at. Look, we'll go through it and we'll pick it all apart and we'll talk about every aspect of it, but it is, you are banging your head against a wall. And when you watch a game like that, and, you know, I'm doing the post game, so I got to get right on the air. What you need to do is just run out to the garage, open your car door, and slam it a few times on your head, because that's what they've done to you. This is like, it's so frustrating to watch the way that they lose. It is really difficult to have this furious comeback in 22 seconds, and you're sitting there with your jaw agape, and then you get a terrible sack, and they get the ball, and you can't stop anybody. Even when you get a sack, even when Montez Sweat finally gets a sack, and he's frustrated because he didn't cause a fumble.
Well, what happened to the pass rush?
But, yeah, I can't answer that question. But goodness gracious, they converted every time they wanted to. It's so weird when distance doesn't matter. Whether it's 15, 20, 7, doesn't matter. They can convert, and you can't do anything about it. And that's a good football team, man. They played well, and they hung on and won.
Well-coached football team.
That's a well-coached
Vikings.
Football team. No question.
They are definitely a well-coached football team with an offensive guru. We'll get into some details later. But this is a team that you look at what they were able to do in running the ball against the Bears. And for the first time since week 3, Aaron Jones had a 100-yard game.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, I didn't think was the best quarterback on the field, but he did make throws when he needed to. Aaron Jones is a Bears killer.
Yeah.
Jordan Addison had a career day with 162 receiving yards and made some great catches. Not good catches, great catches. And so I think you look at Justin Jefferson, didn't do a lot of damage. Didn't do a lot of damage to the Bears. He was a good decoy. TJ Hockenson was the best TJ on the field. Gotta say, when he went up and made some of those catches, and the Bears were exploited in their pass defense, picked apart surgically by a receiving corps that and a coaching staff that schemed them open, that was a clinic in terms of a passing game. You look at Kevin O'Connell, especially the first play. Well, always the first play of the third quarter coming out of the locker room.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
you know, the crosser right in front, right between the safety and the linebacker. The Bears were in their base defense. That play was called in the locker room,
yes.
And that went on all day. Bears are at a coaching deficit. They're at a talent deficit, but it's not as wide as the other deficits. And you're right; they have 6 games to go, and it's going to be a long slog. And it already feels like that. Can't remember the last time they won a game. I know it was London, but. Boy, it's a long time ago.
You won a game in London, you flew home, you had a bye week, and you found spectacular ways to lose.
Their mojo never passed through customs.
No.
I mean,
no, they left their mojo on the plane.
They didn't make the trip back.
And they left it in the pack in front where people lose their glasses.
Right. And now it's been like taken by some sweet couple from Sweden. Yeah, I don't know what's happened to it though. Maybe you make up your own. It's ridiculous that they've not been able to win a game since then, and it's ridiculous what one play, the Fail Mary, has done to this season.
Yeah.
And we're going to dissect everything. And I understand who needs to be held responsible. We all know what's going on here. But at some point in time, we have to be at least honest about the fact they've had some terrible luck.
Okay. Undoubtedly, they've had terrible luck. But don't you feel like they given the 5-game losing streak, that they've already lost Thursday's game?
Yes.
They haven't even been in the building yet, and they got a game plan, and they're going to start installing.
It was a Black Friday special yesterday. Yeah, two for one.
It was.
Get one lost, get one free.
Yeah.
They're no way beating the Lions.
It
might not even be close. Well, it might not even be close.
Vegas has a 10 in the hook.
I might be generous.
That's a lot of points.
Lions could cover. Look at the differences between the two teams and how they're coached and how they play and how talented they are. And once the Lions get a lead, you think that Bears team is going to come fighting back after 5 straight losses on Thanksgiving Day? I have a hard time envisioning a close game.
Yeah.
We can make the argument up until, you know, Thursday, but I have a hard time seeing that.
I'm glad it's a short week because that's a hard argument to have to make all week.
I don't.
It just is.
It is.
It's just one of these things where I don't know what's going right for the
Bears. We're
going
to take the North and never give it back.
The quarterback's going right.
Yeah.
We're going to build the team, but not at the line of scrimmage.
It's funny, though, because
– that's the new statement.
It's funny, though, because they got the quarterback, and how many years did we say
– all you need
just get the quarterback. And I understand they
– they did that once before, though. They had a defensive team. They had a good team. All they needed was a quarterback. They brought in Jay Cutler. Then they had to get a tackle. Then they had to get a receiver. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're spending more on offense than they are on defense, and that was reflected.
Well, they need to address the offensive line. They need to address the defensive line. Those are priorities 1A in the offseason.
But isn't that
for whoever's
football?
Yeah, well, not always. I mean,
when you're building a football team, don't you want to get the line of scrimmage right? Who's the first guy they signed?
You're saying that from your football value judgment, and I agree with you. And you know I align with that, but I don't think everybody looks at it that way. Sometimes necessity out of roster, you know, who's available and how much you can afford makes people make choices that may or may not be right. Ryan Poles made some choices. They haven't been right here. He neglected the offense and defensive lines, or he made some bad choices of people who he was counting on there.
You literally, the first signing of your tenure was Larry Ogunjobi,
mm-hmm.
because you knew you had to have the 3 technique to play the system. And then what happened?
Well, he didn't pass his physical and never recovered from that in terms of you went for a replacement and you got Justin Jones, repeat history here, and you were never able to kind of recover from that mistake?
I don't even know. I don't
Is it a mistake? He passed his physical in Pittsburgh. He's been a productive player there, hasn't he? I just, you're right about identifying that as the first kind of miss, if you will.
Well, that was the first guy they signed. We've got to have this. And then you never go back to the well? We don't really need that.
They would argue, only because we've made this point before and we've gotten sort of pushback, but
yeah,
they've argued that Justin Jones was an adequate replacement level player for...
Adequate.
You're right. Adequate. Okay. And second-tier free agent, likely, in that free agent class.
Yep.
But the point being, it is the defensive line somewhat neglected there. The offensive line, you made a choice when you drafted a wide receiver at 9 instead of an offensive lineman, or maybe not. Even if you take Roma Dunze, there have been other situations we could point to.
Sure.
That represent that kind of neglect we're talking about. And your third round draft pick being an offensive tackle that has yet to contribute is a big problem. And in the miss right now, miss category, you needed to have that role, that draft pick contribute this year. A third round draft pick
is a high draft pick
who should be a contributor as a rookie.
I agree. But I understand they felt that the player had value because of his injury. But think about the dichotomy of that sense.
Exactly. Well, he's so injured that the other teams will stay away from him.
Yes.
But we know what we're doing. Well, so let's draft him because we'll get a value pick. It's like shopping on the clearance rack.
And your big free agent signing trade also on the offensive line was another pre-injured player in Ryan Bates. And, you know, again, the guy had to go to Panama for stem cell treatment.
That's probably not the greatest. That's probably not the greatest news when you
exactly
sign the free agent and you find out that he can't lift his arm above his head.
How do you not know?
But that happened after he got here, though.
Did it?
I don't know.
Because he didn't really play much.
He didn't play much. He hasn't contributed either. And then, I mean, we're talking about Ryan Poles and judgment and moves that didn't pan out. And you can't have any conversation if you're evaluating his tenure without looking at the fact that he stuck with his head coach for year three when other better options were available.
Better options.
And that's why, you know, when I was writing yesterday after the game on 670score.com, when we're talking about the list of people who should be held responsible for all this, obviously it's Matt Eberflus. Conceivably, Richard Hightower's in there. We've already seen Shane Waldron get fired. I don't know that you stop with the coaching staff, because I do think that at some point in time, Ryan Poles has some explaining to do.
I wouldn't argue with that, but I do think that, you know, this isn't his head coach. This is, they were interviewing coaches and general managers at the same time. He got the general manager job and then was given a list of three guys. So this was his pick of that bunch, of that litter, if you will. A three-man weave. He didn't get to go out and get his own guy.
Picked the wrong one.
That's not what I'm arguing.
Dan Quinn would have been a better choice in retrospect. He'd done it before. Ryan Poles had never done it before. Who's making the choice? I'm not letting him off the hook like that.
I'm not letting him off the hook. I just think that if you hire the guy and you hand over the keys to the kingdom and you tell him you're supporting him 100%, you got to let him choose a coach.
Mm-hmm.
His own guy. And I'm not saying it'll work. I just feel like, you know, see, the problem is you let him hire a coach, that buys him at least two more years. But he's probably on a five-year deal anyway, so I don't know. I mean, look, he's made mistakes. He's made some good moves too. But this year, everything has come up wrong. There's no way around that. It's just, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's just come up wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how you look at a season.
You look at Matt Eberflus. Mm-hmm. Why did he keep his job? Why did they give him his job? Because they had to fire the defensive coordinator, and he stepped into that role. And we opened the year talking about him as an elite play caller on defense.
Well, he was.
Well,
I mean, last year.
Not now.
Yeah, nobody's arguing that. I mean, nobody can say that now.
I'm just saying, you know, the one thing the guy had going for him seems to be escaping him.
452 yards by the Vikings, 7 yards per play, 6 for 13 on third downs. And when you are in overtime and all you do is you need the ball back, you need one stop, and the Vikings go 10 plays and 68 yards, 2nd and 17, 1st and 15, 1st and 20, you need to find a way to get to the quarterback. You need to find a way to stop that offense from clicking, and the Bears never had the answer. So if you could look at big picture, Matt Eberflus kept his job because you could justify it because he was a top flight off defensive coordinator.
No more.
He's not been this year because of injuries or whatever you want to say, but he's not been this year. Maybe he's doing too much, but the operation is broken. And I don't know if the roster is – the roster is flawed. And so combination there of those two things, we have been in this situation before in Chicago.
What it would be like as a player to lose a game like that and then have the coach come into the locker room and tell you how proud he is of you? It's just not, it's all ringing hollow.
Yeah, you know, I think we make a lot about that, and I understand why. I don't know if you're a player in the midst of a five-game losing streak. I'm not sure you care what the coach says. You're pretty much.
I think they've tuned him out.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that that's.
But I think you would if that was his message. I don't know, man. It's not working. It's depressing. It's kind of rough to watch. They had this unbelievable comeback late where you're just kind of like, you know, rubbing your eyes. Did I just see that? You know, you can't. The NFL has changed. You can't get an onside kick, man. Was that the first one of the year? That's the first one under the new rules where the
was that the first
is,
one in the NFL?
I'm pretty sure it is. Under
yeah,
these.
Well, Cairo Santos was due some good luck. Yeah, he definitely was. I had no expectation that that was going to work.
None.
And it was like, all right, now what? And they did what they needed to do to put the ball in field goal range. And I thought in overtime, they got the ball. They scored a touchdown. They're going to win the game. And then what? You know, you start to think about all the kind of possibilities. You had written this team off.
Right.
And then.
That's the honey get me rewrite.
Exactly. You should see my first version.
I bet.
Then the 12-yard sack, which is, you know, it's an unforgivable.
Yeah, that was a lapse.
But, it was a lapse in judgment. Yeah. And he's a rookie, and you're going to make those mistakes. But they would not have been in that situation if he had not made other big plays. So I don't want to give him a pass on that, but I think that, you know, they were unable to overcome that. Vikings get the ball. Hey, how about stopping them? How about stopping them? And they were unable to do that, and everyone saw what happened next. You know, a lot of people missed that ending, Molly, because thousands of people flocked to the exits in the fourth quarter because of the expectation that the Bears no way had that kind of comeback in them. And I understand the sentiment. I certainly didn't expect to see it. But a lot of people left and missed a great comeback. 11 points in a minute and a half. Crazy.